convoy on August 17th of last year when police stopped him for questioning. The following day, they announced they had found illegal weapons in the vehicle. Legal expert, a key witness for the defense, said the police broke legal procedure by searching the vehicle without a warrant. However, and this particular attorney maintained that such evidence must be disregarded by the court. The pastor and his defense team now have a week to decide whether they will accept the sentence or appeal, which is a lengthy and an expensive process. Citizens of Pintina, the city where Demonic lived, plan to hold a mass demonstration if the pastor was sentenced. However, he has discouraged those plans. Here's a Christian pastor who is a member of the Central Sulawesi Christian Church, the crisis center working to assist both Christian and Muslim refugees in the troubled Poso area. He also signed the controversial Malino Peace Accord in December of 2001, which earned the wrath of local officials. It was hoped the accord would reduce tension between Christian and Muslim communities in Poso. However, the accord has had limited success. I think I mentioned last week here on the program that the Fed is actually talking about, now we're in the talking about stages, how this would ever be implemented or whether it would be flyable, so to speak, a carry tax on money. Here's what's happening. We're literally worldwide, especially in the West, looking into the abyss. All of the social programs which have followed us from the past, going all the way back in the U.S. anyway, to Franklin Delano Roosevelt's raw deal, as I call it, his New Deal, all those costs have been rolled forward generation to generation. In countries where you have socialized health care, the costs skyrocket, the costs roll forward from generation to generation. In addition, all of the inflating that has been accomplished since the Great Depression has been rolled forward, and the devaluation of the various currencies are being seen right now. The Federal Reserve here in the U.S., well, they've dropped interest points almost as low as they can go. If they go any lower, it'll wreck some of the money market areas, and also you might as well just start having the banks pay you to take out a loan. That doesn't sound too bad, does it? So right now the Fed is talking about creative financing. This is sort of an interesting term. I love the way they...
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or reporters of the station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the next few minutes. We have with us our very special friend, Dave Wagner, who's going to be up in the Spokane area there in early July, putting on some programs. So we thought we'd, of course, put him on this evening. Perhaps some of you will be interested in going to hear what he has to say. Now, ordinarily, those of you who are regular listeners know that the ministers are here on Wednesday evening to answer your questions about God and about theology. But, they were all away this tonight, so you're going to have to put up with Dave and myself. Dave Wagner, how are you?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you for having me on. What a blessing it is.
Well, Dave had a very comfortable job with a major corporation. He gave it up with a wife and four children to go off to try to get the American people to understand that we're losing America, this country has turned against God, and I don't care what they say when somebody gets up and says, God bless America. I would ask, why should God bless America? We've taken him out of our schools. The most popular book in America is Harry Potter. And, of course, the latest book was released on midnight last Friday. That was the midnight of January 21st, the summer solstice, celebrated by witches and druids and Satanists and occultists and New Agers all throughout the world. Everybody understands what Harry Potter is all about, and yet Christian ministers across America are telling their children, go ahead and read Harry Potter. You'll learn so much from Harry Potter. And being introduced, of course, they don't tell them that it's an introduction to witchcraft and those ideas implanted in their mind by this book that sold 5 million copies on the first day. Will be with those children all the rest of their lives. And as they fortunately are able to come to a personal relationship with our Lord and simply get rid of all these terrible, terrible ideas, this book is being encouraged by many major Christian mission ministries, many of the radio ministries. It's being used in our schools. The largest publisher of children's textbooks and children's literature is Scholastic. They're the ones who are publishing Harry Potter books here in the United States, and specifically the fifth in the series of books, which, of course, is the darkest of all. And as you begin to see the underpinnings, it's done very subtly. You know, it starts out very subtly, very mild, and now each successive book gets darker and darker as we gradually lead our children into the dark side. And where is the outcry across America? Why, it's deafening in its silence. Well, Dave has been on the front lines going around America. He puts together videos, and we carry many of these video sets, and we'll be talking about them this evening, and you want to get them. They're wonderful, wonderful teaching techniques, teaching methods to give to other people, so you don't have to tell them what's going on. All they have to do is watch it and see it with their own eyes. And some of the things he has accumulated, the video clips he's put together, and the sequences and the programs are unparalleled. There's nothing as good in America. So with that as a background, we're going to talk about some things, and you may have heard some of these things before, but repetition does really hurt. And, of course, I think sometimes we have to be constantly reminded of where we're headed today. We're headed towards a new world order and a new world religion. We are in World War III. World War III is underway, and most Americans have no idea why everything's going fine. The stock market's going up, and it may very well go up for a time. But, of course, it will not continue going up, unfortunately, because we are a bankrupt nation, and no nation that's ever turned its back on God has continued to prosper. Okay, Dave, let's get your thoughts about what's going on.
Well, I could listen to you the whole hour, Dr. Stan. Sometimes I wonder why you have guests, but you sure have some great ones from time to time, and I listen to all of them. I follow the news every day as a watchman's call to sound the alarm as he sees things that could affect the people of America, and that's our both of our calling, really. And it's interesting today. I heard on the news that in Afghanistan they were able to re-seed their poppy fields at the end of right after the war was over with, and they had like 12% of the world heroin and cocaine production at that time. Well, this year, 2002, they're back up to 78% of the heroin production again. So
we got rid of the Taliban, who are certainly, we don't agree with their religious practices, but there's no different in Afghanistan. They are in Saudi Arabia, which we fully support, where both countries had Sharia law. But of course, in Afghanistan, the Taliban had, of course, removed the poppy fields, had done away with almost all of the heroin production. And of course, the CIA didn't like that because the CIA has been involved in drug smuggling for years. And if you doubt that, you need to get our 4-tape set on Is There Really a War on Drugs, or some of the books we have, Drugging America, Rodney Stitch's book. You need to get the hear many of the people involved with the CIA tell about the CIA's involvement in drugs. We're not fighting a war on heroin. We're fighting a war on the freedom of the American people and using the war on drugs to justify watching our bank accounts, monitoring people, and, of course, a massive expansion of government power. But if we told the American people the truth, they wouldn't accept it. So we have to have a war on drugs.
You're absolutely right, and it's sort of interesting. You talked about repetition. I was looking over some of the articles after I heard that news report on opium and heroin production out of Afghanistan. I thought, well, there's a couple videos I've had on the shelf for a long time. Most people have, probably a lot of your listeners have it on their shelf, probably haven't watched it, but it's still going on today, and the Clinton Chronicles and the MENA Connection, and some of those were done by Pat Matriciano and Jeremiah Films. It's just, there's been so much information over the past 8-10 years I've been involved in this. I know you've been involved 45-50 years in it. And thank God for your willingness to just serve him the way you do every day, 4, 5, 6 hours, 7 hours just on the radio, 5 hours on the radio, and then all the time it takes to get ready for all that, Dr. Stan. Just, may the Lord just continue to strengthen you is all I say. But I hear the bumper music coming.
No,
up,
well, so. I don't have to pay any attention to that. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Okay. But anyway, a lot of these things, like the Jeremiah Films, the MENA Connection, how they've been bringing in drugs, and your tape sets. We've talked about it. We've told the people it hasn't stopped. None of these things have stopped. The laws that are put in place eventually will be used against the American people to literally control the American people. And I think you said it good on a tape not long ago. I was listening. I listened to many as tapes as I can of yours, Dr. Stan. You were talking to this young lady about a profiling of people through these grocery cards, and you talked about how the war on terrorism is really being used, and it surely is being used to put databases, and eventually it'll be used to profile every single American, where they know where we are, what we're doing, all hours of the day. And that, I mean, that's really their objective through bringing in this global community. They want to control everybody, all of our children and everybody else. So it's a multi-front war. It's a war that starts in education with our young ones right away. It's at the religious level. It's at the spiritual level. It's at the governmental level. They obviously have to take weapons away, freedoms away from people that have freedoms and liberties that have been given to them through their forefathers. They obviously have to divide the monies up throughout the world so it's in the economic realm, because they're going to eventually use that to control the people, and we'll talk about that. I'll play one of the clips that I have, and I have a number of clips. You carry a three-set series called The Amazing Clips, and Dr. Stan, you know, you got me on for the fourth. I think what I'd like to do on the fourth is just go over those, some of those most amazing of the amazing clips. We can comment on them after I play them. I'll play the clip and you can comment on it.
Fine. Well, that will give those of you out in the listening audience who are not doing anything on the evening of the 4th something to look forward to. And Dave's going to be on with us for 2 hours that evening as well. So, in fact, Dave was good enough to come on tonight just on short notice, but he will be with us again on the 4th of July. He will be with us again early in July. Now, when are you going to be up there in Spokane so people can mark that on their calendar?
Well, I'm looking really for people that will get the word out. I'll be coming into that area the day of the 18th, doing a presentation. That's July 18th. And the evening of the 18th at the Ramada Inn by the airport there, I'll be doing a multimedia presentation. I'll be covering some of the subjects we're talking about tonight, but they'll be able to see it. It's video clips they'll be able to see. The presentations are all made up of slides, video clips, and then my speaking from the podium. But a lot of it is documents through the slide media, as well as the clips themselves that back up many of the things I have to say. And the presentation will be given that night on the 18th. That's a Friday evening. And these are all free, Dr. Stan. I've never charged. They're all free admission. I just hope and pray you bring your friends. I hope you tell everybody about it in your circle. It's not really our responsibility to to force the people to come. All we can do is let them know, and then the Lord will bring who he wants. As I've been very fortunate as I went around the country, sometimes just going into town, one town after another, and the Lord just seems to bring sometimes very large numbers, sometimes good numbers of people to these presentations, and I just thank him because it's for his glory and honor we all work. For his glory and honor we were and are created, it says in Revelation 4:11, and that's our purpose here on earth. We're to be sharing truth. That's one of the things that the fruit of the Spirit must be covered in truth, righteousness, and goodness in Ephesians 5:9. And it doesn't surprise me when God was speaking to Jeremiah in Jeremiah the first chapter, he said, go throughout Jerusalem and try to find one man that seeks after truth, that desires truth, and he couldn't find one. And today there's a lot of people that like to hear itching ear messages. They like to hear what they want to hear, but they don't really want to hear what reality is and what's going to happen. And we don't have to be afraid, Dr. Stan, as I've mentioned many times. There's no reason to have fear because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the Holy Spirit who's powerful, loving, and the sound mind. If we follow Jesus Christ, if we commit our life to him, we can have the Holy Spirit who lives in us as the temple of the living God. So we're truly a blessed people. Here in America, we have been. I believe God's judgment has already started. I believe it's going to get more and more severe, just like those birth pangs of a woman that's ready to deliver. They start out fairly easy. I believe 9/11 was a wake-up call, and it didn't seem to wake anybody up except a few of the people that are already awake. They were very much aware at that time. I call them the remnant, pretty much. It's a group of people that really care about truth, that love Jesus Christ and want to do his will. And those are the people who usually come out to these presentations. There's very seldom people come out that don't want to hear what's really happening. And that night we're going to be covering a number of subjects. Like I said, it's going to be called a Great Deception Update because Jesus Christ said in the latter days, he told about the wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all those things, but he talked three times about deception. He said, may here come my name and deceive many. Let no man deceive you. Deception is going to be so great it could deceive the very elect. And he said it would be the times of Noah, the times of Lot, and that's exactly where we're in, and there aren't a lot of people that'd like to hear. I know you've got a good listening audience. You probably have a big portion of that remnant that listen to you from time to time throughout the day, Dr. Stan, and I'm not saying that anything to puff you up, because if they're listening, God's put them, you know, tuned them into your radio station, or to your radio broadcast. And your radio station, Radio Liberty. But we truly serve a God that has a plan, and it's laid out in the Bible. And he did tell us there'd be deception, so I will show people that night that there has been deception, that what we have been told isn't really what took place.
You're talking about September 11th.
Well, all throughout. 95, I really end the presentation to show the people how they're literally going to be affected by these laws that have been passed that they haven't activated yet, but they're in place. There's a plan. For example, there's been a law in place for a long time now where they can, in case of a terrorist attack, they can suspend the Constitution, they can invoke the military, they can arrest American citizens, and they can divide them from their loved ones and place them in detention camps. That's right on the laws. It's executive orders that have been passed in case of a terrorist attack. Now, those laws were put on the books before we even had a terrorist attack in America. So the first major terrorist attack was 93 at the World Trade Center, and I'm sure the listeners are pretty familiar with a man named Salam that worked with the terrorists, was an Islamic fundamentalist. And that's critical, Dr. Stan, that they named these terrorists at 9/11 and in 93. They were always fundamentalists. They were always religious fundamentalists, because it's going to come around to anybody that's a religious fundamentalist. I've heard stories that the 9/11 attackers were guys that hung out in bars and weren't too fundamental at all.
There's an interesting article in this week's Insight magazine pointing out that five or six of the terrorists are alive and well over in Saudi Arabia. In Arabia, people with those names that were put forward And of course, did the government make a mistake on those names? We know, for instance, that so much of what we were told immediately after 9/11 just wasn't true. The passport, which somehow got out of the plane that hit either the north or the south tower and fluttered down to the ground a block or two away from the World Trade Center, had the name and address. It was the passport for one of the terrorists. Now, how did that get out of the plane, and how was it just found laying on the street? The same thing happened with the one of the passports of one of the terrorists on the plane in Pennsylvania. And they even had the audacity to put that up. Well, maybe they figured the American people really aren't very smart. They actually had a copy of that passport, and we have the picture of it from the FBI's own webpage, telling about how this passport, just happened to drift to the ground out of this blazing inferno. And I always like to say to people, well, of course, obviously what they did was the hijacker rolled down the window on the plane and threw it out before the plane crashed. Because that's the only logical explanation, either that or it was planted. And if it was planted, then how much of the other evidence was planted? Like, for instance, Muhammad Atta, the head of the terrorists, he's going on a suicide journey. So he packs his bag, he puts all of the material, in a little briefcase or something, telling about how he planned this attack on the World Trade Center and all of his radical Islamic material. And then he leaves it in a car, a rental car, in the airport where it'll be immediately found. He's not a very, very smart terrorist, or is perhaps reality is usually scoffed at, perception is usually king. Were they simply planting all this evidence? Certainly we know, according to Christian Breitwiser's testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee, or the combined Senate-House Intelligence Committee, on the 18th of September last year, that according to the New York Times, within 2 hours, that's 2 hours, 2 hours of the attack, YFBA agents were at the restaurants where the terrorists ate, at the neighborhoods where they lived, at the training schools where they trained. Gee, we had no idea an attack was coming. We had no idea who these people were. But 2 hours afterwards, we knew where they ate, where they lived, where they trained. That really is amazing, since all of them were dead. And none of their names were on the manifestos. Is it perhaps we're not being told the truth?
In fact, I did
the most amazing interview last night, a couple of nights ago, with Colonel Buzz Patterson, who was with the president in the White House, in 1996, right after T.W.A. Downing. And he was saying that the president, President Clinton, was asking about Operation Bojinka. He had material on Operation Bojinka on his desk. And for our listeners who don't know, it was a plan that had come out of the Philippines in 1995. It was found on the computer of a man named Ramzi Yosef. And, of course, it was a plan to hijack American planes and crash them into five buildings, including the World Trade Center. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. You've probably never heard that before. In fact, there's so much evidence that the government knew all about Operation Bojinka and the plan to attack the World Trade Center. Maybe that's why somebody padlocked the doors of the roof. Many of the people fled to the roof that horrible morning, because on the 1993 attack, why many of them had been able to be rescued by helicopters from the roof. But this time there would be no escape. The doors were reinforced. They were padlocked. So there was no opportunity for helicopters to evacuate anybody, and as many as possible were killed. In fact, they were, well, we'll talk about that when we get back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Dave Wegner, and I'm going to just get off my soapbox and let you go ahead, Dave.
Well, there's so many times I want to jump in there, but you've got it all covered. But when you talked about Christian Breitwiser's testimony, I think one of the most amazing things was not only that they checked those restaurants out 2 hours later, but there were a couple of terrorists that they were looking for a number of days, and it just happened that they had bank accounts in San Diego, they had driver's licenses from the California area, and they actually lived with an FBI agent, and they weren't able to find them before the incident. Just that testimony of hers, you have it in, I think it's your November newsletter.
My October newsletter.
October newsletter. Excellent, excellent testimony. You remember, I called you after that, and I thought that was your writing. not Christian Breitweiser's, because it sounded like somebody that had done a just tremendous amount of research, because she covered so many subjects. In fact, I did cover it in my tape I just recently finished about a few months ago. It was a complete overview of 9/11 after the fact. It's the day that changed America forever, because George Bush said that night fell on a different world, and it truly did. On 9/11, the evening of 9/11, I believe he said that. Since 9/11, nothing has been the same. Our freedoms and liberties have been taken away. Profiling of people, the putting together of databases has been just at a breakneck speed. And I know that most of the listeners think it can never happen here in America, or at least their friends think it can never happen here in America. Well, let me tell you what, it's going to happen. When? I don't think anybody knows the day or hour or the time, but they're moving closer and closer every day to the enslavement, to the time when this country no longer has the freedoms and liberties it once had. All we need to do is look at Patriot, and I'll look at these different subjects tonight there at Spokane by the airport on the 18th of July at 7 p.m. I'll be looking at like the Patriot 1 Act and the Patriot 2 Act and the Homeland Security Act the Homeland Security Office and the, I know they changed the name of it, but it used to be called Information Awareness Office.
Information Awareness, DARPA. But they've changed the name, but they're doing exactly the same thing.
Same thing. They're still doing the same thing.
I love their slogan that they had that on their logo, their occult logo, the pyramid cap by the All-Seeing Eye, which was there. Incidentally, of those of you who haven't seen it, it's in Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, Cover Up. He got that off the webpage before they took it down. But there on that occult satanic slogan that they had on Admiral Poindexter's webpage was this notation, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. That their knowledge of us gives us power over us. That's what they're talking about.
That's absolutely right. In fact, the first move of Lucifer, the angel of light who had left his first estate, was the Tower of Babel. And the whole Tower of Babel is all about bringing together a global community or one world government or a new world order, whichever one you want to call it. It was basically controlling of the people, and God at that time caused different peoples to not be able to understand each other. They were babbling is what they called it. And sort of interesting. I don't remember the name of that. I was reading about it, or I heard it about it on one of your tapes. I can't remember, but I heard it. Iraq, the Iraqi war, they actually had a way to interpret through their head gear, through their headsets. If they heard an Iraqi talking, there would be interpretation. So they're trying to eliminate any possibility of not being able to understand each other.
I'm going to interrupt you for a minute. We're going to have to pick up our listeners up there in the Great Northwest. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dave Wagner is with us tonight for Hope for America Hope for America Ministry. And David's going to be up there in Spokane at the Ramada Inn Airport Hotel, or motel, or hotel. And that's going to be at, 7 o'clock in the evening of July 18th, no charge for admission?
Yeah, 7 p.m. That's a Friday evening, and there's no charge for admission. Sure. You're right. And we've got a big room. Nice room with where it'll all be multimedia. And again, if somebody's interested in helping out as far as ideas how we could let people know in the area, give me a call at my 800 number.
Well,
I'd sure appreciate any help. The 800 number is 1-800-959-1991. That's 1-800-959-1991. You can call the Ramada Inn at the airport there in Spokane. Their phone number is 509-838-5211 if you need directions to that airport. It's right out there by the airport. I've spoken there on two or three different occasions in the past, so I've had the privilege. And it's always a good turnout. It just seems like the people in Spokane, they really want to know what's going on, and they just seem to be down to earth. My kind of people. I really like them when I get a chance to get most every place I go, Dr. Stan. I can't say I have one place in America that I haven't gone that I have really appreciated the enthusiasm of the people, the desire for them to learn truth. They all desire to learn truth, and they surely want their friends and family to know it. We can't force anybody truth on anybody. All we can do is share it. All we can do is make sure we get our facts and our truth and everything put together in right order so we can't be discredited and then it's up to God to really bring the increase or open their eyes to what's really happening. So, again, the presentation is called A Great Deception Update, and I was talking about how it's going to affect everybody, because I think it's so important that just to hear a program about what happened in Oklahoma or what happened at the World Trade Center or how the war didn't happen, that really, you know, there's a reason for every single one of those, and that's what I bring it around to. I talked about the executive order, and I show Henry Gonzalez. We can play that tape a little later if we have time tonight. But the first event, like I talked about, was terrorism, and it says under this executive order that in case of a terrorist event, they can divide the American people, suspend the Constitution, invoke the military, and arrest Americans and put them in detention camps. But we didn't have any terrorist events when that was said by Henry Gonzalez, and when those executive orders were written. So 93 was the World Trade Center, 95 was Oklahoma, and I'd like to just play just a couple of the clips right from Oklahoma, and I've played them many times. You might get tired of hearing them, but if you maybe tape these and give them to your friends, because most people believe that there was a lone bomber, a crazed bomber, that pulled his truck up and flew in front of the Murrah building and blew the building down. But anybody that does any kind of research or listens to the first reports out of the news will see that's all a lie. That's all deception. But let's listen to those first reports. This is the morning of April 19th, 1995.
No, Dave, tell them where these came from. What are these clips from?
These are actually Channel 5 News, Channel 8 News. If you lived in Oklahoma City that day, you would have seen these on your television set.
All right, fine. And, of course, you have them on one of your video. Which video do they have that they actually see this?
Well, there's a couple of them, Dr. Stan, because this was a critical point, you know, in showing that we aren't being told the truth. They're definitely on the amazing clips, because I have over 55 different clips on those three tapes, 3.5 hours. In fact, there's a lot of clips on that one, but it also would be on The Shocker. It would also be on the one called, I put it on the latest two videos, The Day That Changed America Forever, or Welcome to World War III/New World Order, because the war is still going on, whether people realize it or not. The British lost 5 soldiers. We're talking about looking for Saddam and his sons in Syria. We haven't let up the propaganda that there's a possibility of Iran, developing their nuclear weapons. And
well, that's because we're actually we're toppling Iran today. We're financing these riots over there. I'm sure that we're paying off the military not to intervene. And the days of the corrupt regime are numbered. And, of course, it is a corrupt regime. But
yes,
what people forget is that we brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power back in 1979 when we toppled the Shah. We did the same thing to the Shah in 1979. We did to Premier Mossadegh in 1953. We paid the military to allow an overthrow of the duly elected government. In 1979, we paid the military to allow the overthrow of the Shah, and I suspect we're going to do the same thing right now. It's the same game all over again, but of course what most people don't understand is that in Iran we created one of the best enemies money could buy, because Iran, along with Saudi Arabia, has been funding the radical Islamic movement, Al-Qaeda, that threatens the peace and safety of Western civilization today. We created the best enemy money could buy. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and those of you who have any question at all about how we overthrew Mossadegh, I'd suggest Professor Kara Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And if you go and you read that book for the name Schwarzkopf, and of course you'll find an article there about Colonel Schwarzkopf. Not the General Schwarzkopf of Desert Storm, but his father, who was a colonel in the police, who was working for Allen Dulles and the CIA in 1953. And, of course, they were passing out money. They had $10 million to buy off the military of Iran, and to topple the duly elected government, which we did And then we brought the Shah, who was a dictator to power. And then we toppled the Shah in 79. We brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. And now we're going to topple the Ayatollah Khomeini, or at least the Islamic radical regime that we put in power. Because, of course, they're financing this Islamic terrorist movement, which we started to create back in 1979, when, of course, we toppled the Shah of Iran. We began financing the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, which led to the Afghan War. And, of course, it was in 1979 when we were behind a man named Saddam Hussein, a former CIA operative coming to power in a country called Iraq. So pick it up from there.
I just, you could, this is amazing. I didn't know that General Schwarzkopf's father was that colonel, but
right, he was.
An all-encompassing web of deception and lies that have taken place over the years. And I was getting ready to play this this one clip here from Oklahoma. You know, as you listen to this, remember what we were told. It was Timothy McVeigh with some help, not Nichols there that morning, but with some help from Nichols in putting the bomb in the back of this truck. And supposedly it brought the whole building, or not the entire building down, but a portion of the building down. But I think they had intentions of bringing the whole building down, as you listen to these news clips right off the mainline media the morning of April 19, 1995. Let's listen to these.
Through federal authorities that a second bomb has been found inside that federal building in Oklahoma City. It was an explosion at 9 o'clock this morning that did that damage you're looking at right there.
Getting word now that President Clinton is sending anti-terrorism units down here to look over the situation and find out exactly what went on and what other danger may be out here in Oklahoma City. That's something we need to think about, unfortunately, this time, because, as we told you, two other explosive devices were found that were not detonated, and they were larger than the first.
President Clinton just called Governor Frank Keating, and he says that three FBI anti-terrorist teams are en route to Oklahoma City. Right now, they are saying that this is the work of a sophisticated group. This is a very sophisticated device, and it has to have been done by an explosives expert, obviously, with this type of explosion.
We should find out an awful lot when the bombs are taken apart. I think it was a great stroke of luck that we actually have got defused bombs. It's through the bomb material that we will be able to track down who committed this atrocity.
First bomb that was in the federal building did go off. It did the damage that you see right there. The second explosive was found and defused. The third explosive that was found, and they are working on right now as we speak, I understand, both the second and third explosives, as you can imagine this, were larger than the first. First bomb that was in the federal building did go off. It did the damage that you see right there.
Okay, yeah, fine.
I don't think it could be much clearer than that, Dr. Stan, that the bomb that went off was in the federal building and actually blew the material out across the street, so... you know, of course, there's a lot of other evidence that I show on this great deception update. There's Jeannie Coverdale was there, and she was a grandmother that lost two of her grandchildren. And she talks about the 35 witnesses, credible witnesses, that saw another person with John Doe number two with, what's his name that morning? Not Nichols, but Timothy McVeigh, right, the morning of April 19th.
Somebody referred to him as Lee Harvey McVeigh.
Right,
you know,
right.
He was a created individual. I mean, can you imagine now, you've just blown up an American building, you've killed 168 Americans, you're driving up the highway with no license on your car, you're wearing a patriotic, right-wing extremist T-shirt, you've got a gun in your belt, you've got all this radical material in your car talking about patriotism and how corrupt the government is and anti-Semitism and a copy of the Turner Diaries. And then you're stopped by a police officer. And this police officer, of course, pulls you over. And, of course, you're just killed 168 people. All you have to do is pull out your gun and shoot them and take off. And what does Timothy McVeigh do? He says, I've got a gun here. And, of course, if you've read the book that was written, supposedly based upon interviews with Timothy McVeigh, he will tell you that 5 minutes before he arrived at the Murrah building, he lit the fuse, a five-minute fuse that would, of course, put off the explosives in the back of his truck. I mean, how many people driving a truck, you don't even know there's going to be a parking place in front of the Murrah building, and you light the fuse 5 minutes ahead of time? What's wrong with this story? Well, first all you need to do is read the book by Stephen Jones, who was Timothy McVeigh's attorney, who, of course, opened his defense of Timothy McVeigh by quoting letters Timothy McVeigh had written to his sister, Jennifer, saying, I happen to be working for a special forces unit involved in illegal activity. What is a special forces? They're professional assassins who are trained to do what they're told, and they kill people in the United States, and I've talked to a couple of them, and they have killed people in the United States. Chuck Tatum was hired, told to, after killing other people, he was told to kill Ross Perot. You remember when Ross Perot was running for president, and everybody said he was so nutty because he said that there was a conspiracy to kill him, and the Republicans were out to get him? Well, I talked to a man who was hired to kill Ross Perot. He didn't do it, of course, and that's why he got into real trouble with the special forces. But this is what Timothy McVeigh was in. He was in the Special Forces unit, according to the letter he had written. I wonder how many people ever heard that on the mass media. Those were the opening of the entire defense, was the fact that Timothy McVeigh was part of a Special Forces unit, and that was never countered by the prosecution. They totally ignored that, and the media ignored it, just like the media ignored Christian Breitwiser's testimony on the 18th of September last year about what really happened on the morning of September 11th, 1911. Well, let's go to Mike calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. Yeah, not to mention the seismographic records that are missing around the country that would show the various explosions in Oklahoma City that day.
No, of course, there are even seismographic records as far as the explosion in New York on September 11th. And there is a question there that there were explosions as well.
Yeah. I have a special request of Mr. Wegner. I deeply appreciate his programming and the times you've had him on. And I think that something that would be so incredibly valuable would be his clips that show or else in the audio or clips that call into question George Bush's Christianity. Governments, when they try and pull the kinds of things that our government is doing, one of the things they have to do is to get the church to go along. And our government has succeeded wildly in doing this, not only with the Bush administration, but with the Clinton administration, in which 38% of the evangelical vote went to Bill Clinton, which the Wall Builders Institute came to the conclusion that percentage of the vote actually put him in office. Mr. Wegner, you in previous programs, you spoke of George Bush saying that the Quran is the word of God. And that's on one of your videos, I think, that came out recently?
That'll be on one of my videos. It's actually on the White House website.
Is that?
You can go to their website.
I went looking for it once and couldn't find it.
I found it and I taped it. I downloaded it, so I do have it for the one called False Teachers, Unsound Doctrines. But there's no doubt there is a move afoot along with the world government. There will have to be a one world religion, and that'll be uniting of all the religions of the world. And I don't think anything's by accident who's in office. I think everybody is voted into office. I believe that there isn't a whole lot of difference between the Republicans or the Democrats. They all belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, pretty much. Their cabinet members belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and various dark societies, and they're all moving towards that global community that I talk about so much.
Look, first now, George W. Bush doesn't belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, although his father was the director of the CFR. But, of course, George W. Bush has surrounded himself with people from the CFR. In fact, of his a team that supported him prior to the election, there were 11 people on it. 10 of them came from the Council on Foreign Relations. The only one who wasn't a member of the CFR was Richard Armitage.
Well, he doesn't need to be a CFR. He's a bonesman.
He's a bonesman. You're absolutely right. And the bones people. I would feel so much better if George W. Bush would renounce his association with this pagan occult society.
Well, if he did, they would kill him. So,
Well, I don't think he can. But the key is that we pray for our people that are in authority. There's no doubt. I'm going to expose everything that's truth, no matter who it is. But we should pray for those in authority. The only reason I show George Bush on some of these videos on a great deception, for example, is I show him that because a lot of people have their trust in their world leaders, in their political leaders, and our trust should never be in an individual, our pastor, the evangelists we see on television, or our political leaders. It should always be in Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. So the only reason I show some of these clips on these people like George Bush and others is just to say, hey, get your eyes off George Bush, pray for George Bush, pray for those in leadership that are going to be held accountable before the God that knows all things that's done in secret. So,
I think the church in America today needs to know that George Bush is not a Christian. Hold on a second. I'll acknowledge in the technical, from the technical theological aspect of it, we can't make that judgment. But we have to look at things people do and things that they say. And when George Bush, on the one hand, makes such a huge impression on church leaders with his prayer breakfast, etc., and then, on the other hand, lifts up Ozzy Osbourne with great accolades, there's something fishy going on, and I believe the church is being fooled. And
I think the church knows about it. That's the thing that probably bothers me more than anything else. It'll never be known who does know what and who doesn't know what. But I believe many of the leaders know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're saying. They obviously know a lot more than I know about his background and other leaders' background and the move towards the global community and the one world religion. So
let me share something with both of you. That there was a group put together back in 1999 with the idea that we needed to find a common candidate in the Republican Party that everybody could rally behind. This group has been dubbed as the College of Cardinals, not necessarily a fair appraisal. It contained both Protestants and Catholics, predominantly evangelical Protestants, but there were some leading Catholic people there. I won't necessarily name who they were, but if you were going to pick the leaders of the Christian movement in America today, I'd say that two-thirds of them were there. And there were a couple of people who weren't Christian leaders, and of course I was one of those. And we had a number of opportunities to interview all the Republican candidates. The second go-around, the first time that George W. Bush wasn't available, and of course the second time he was, and he and Pat Buchanan were the two people we interviewed. And we had a chance to meet him personally and talk to him. He's a very likable individual, but I will tell you that I think there were 16 people at the second meeting, 16 or 18. I think there were 18 of them, I remember. And I will tell you quite honestly that 16 of those people were solidly behind George Bush at the end of that program, totally ignoring any of the other potential candidates, and they really honestly believed that he was a born-again Christian, because he professed that. He, after all, he said that he had been led to the Lord by Billy Graham, and to question that certainly was to question Billy Graham. So he gave us certainly a very touching personal testimony, very convincing. I don't know what's in George Bush's heart. The one thing I would say is I wish he'd quit appointing homosexuals to key positions. I wish he'd, as he's doing today, giving $15 billion for fighting AIDS, which is really going to go to finance abortion, which, of course, he promises he wouldn't do, but this is really what this $15 billion is for. Once you appropriate the money, you have no way to control how it's spent, and I do wish he would renounce his membership in this pagan occult organization, which is called Skull and Bones, and of course has been associated with so much mischief for over 150 years. So anything else you want to say, Mike?
Yeah, about the movie Gods and Generals. Again, I think this was another number to dupe the church in America into following George Bush. I couldn't find it in myself to trust the movie. As good as it was, it got great reviews from all our Christian pundits, and but since it was from Ted Turner, I just could not believe that there was not some strange little agenda going behind it. Given the timing, just some weeks before the invasion of Iraq, I can see that Ted Turner was enlisted by Washington to put the church on the warpath, to just sort of inspire them, to bring them into a sort of a headset or a mindset of war, righteous war, Christian leaders going to war for righteous purposes, and supposedly George Bush is one of those, and he fits the mold that was presented to them in the movie. And I think it's difficult probably for people to see that, but I'm convinced now, after these months have gone by, that that's what was going on with Ted Turner.
Well, of course, Mike, I know why you would feel that way, but I haven't seen the movie, but everything I've heard about is rave reviews. But I know a little bit about the man who wrote the script. He'd been spending 20 years trying to get, 15 or 20 years, to try to get somebody to actually finance that. Ted Turner actually agreed to, and they showed that to Ted Turner. They were frightened to death he was going to insist on taking some of the most powerful professions of faith out, and they were very, very amazed that he did not. In other words, he agreed to have it put out exactly as it was, because anything you'd remove would have removed the tremendous impact that that movie has.
Well,
did it come out exactly at the right time? I can't say. I suspect it did not, but maybe you're right. Who knows?
I think all those things that you're speaking of that were left in, that those people, that the writers were afraid would be taken out, all those things are precisely the things that would reach to deepest into the hearts of the Christian public here in America. And they would be so taken by the movie, so appreciative of it, and basically give them a war mentality. Here we go now with Iraq, and all this that the United States is now doing in Iraq, etc., is a continuation of what they had just seen on the widescreen.
Did you actually see the movie?
Nope, haven't seen it.
All right, fine. Do you have any thoughts on what Mike is saying, Dave?
You know, I haven't seen the movie. I have red flags real quick when I hear Ted Turner, because out of his own mouth, I mean, he puts down Christians, fundamentalist Christianity, that it's not the only way, and so he's definitely not of God.
No, but I think that the man who produced, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will get the producer as a guest on this program one of these evenings, and we'll interview him. But I really believe he is a Christian. I believe this is really one of the great movies of modern times, but I haven't seen it either. I'm waiting for it to come out on DVD.
Yeah, I've been waiting for it to come out. It just went to a back burner item. I didn't feel like spending the $8 to go in the theater for it.
Okay, well, you're going to have to spend 16 or 24, or probably $24 to get the DVD. Or you can come up and watch it with us. How's that?
Yeah, I'll come on.
Okay, fine.
Thanks.
Anything else? Thanks so much.
That's all. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Unfortunately, Dave's going to be with us for 2 hours this evening, so we're not pushed for time at all. Dave, why don't you pick up the next item? Complete the quotation you started from George Bush, and I was thinking of it. He said, "And it all came upon us in a single day, and night fell on a different world, a world in which freedom itself was under attack."
Absolutely.
And that is one of the most beautiful, and the way it was said, the emotion with which it was said, and I believe freedom itself is under attack in America today, but it's not under attack from Osama bin Laden. It's under attack from the people who want to monitor the law-abiding citizens in the name of protecting us from Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. At the same time, that James Baker III, the president's lawyer, and his law firm is defending of the Saudi princes who financed Osama bin Laden both before and after September 11th. So things are never quite as they appear to be.
You're absolutely right. I mean, if we have another hour, like you mentioned, we're going to get into the World Trade Center. That didn't appear. Things didn't happen exactly the way they appeared to be either, what we heard anyway. Building number 7, for example, I'm not going to play that clip, but if they come out to that Ramada Inn there at Spokane by the airport on the July 18th at 7 p.m., they'll see that building come down three different ways. Building number 7 wasn't one of the two main towers. It came down just as if a building was imploded. It was approximately a block away from those two towers, and again, it didn't tip to one side or anything else. It just came straight down just like towers 1 and 2. But we'll play some of the clips from some of the commentators and on the World Trade Center, because I think it's important. Again, this was really the second or third major act of terrorism, because, again, if you're going to enslave the American people, if you're going to suspend the Constitution in case of American terrorist attack. You're going to have terrorist incidents on our soil, and I think they're getting ready. They're putting up together the Homeland Security, which is probably the best force ever put in a country to bring in a police state. I mean, there's never been such good monitoring, being able to put databases and everything on all the American people. It's just amazing.
Well, you know, really, for our listeners out there, could we have a Gestapo here in the United States that would take away our freedom? Well, to really understand this answer to that question, you must understand what happened to the head of the German Gestapo, a man named Heinrich Mueller. Heinrich Mueller headed the German Gestapo. After the Second World War, he was brought to America, given a comfortable job, and allowed to retire here. Now, here was a man responsible for all the torture and the things that the Gestapo did. Is there anybody out in the audience who doesn't think the Gestapo was evil? So why was he brought to America? Now, those of you who heard our interview with David Emery the other night, David Emery has a great deal of information that Mueller continued to work with the Nazis in South America and, of course, was directing so many of the underground activities of the Nazis who were allowed to escape to South America by the OSS. Klaus Barbie, Adolf Eichmann, certainly Martin Bormann, the names that we associate with the terrible, horrible acts that were carried out in Germany. And, of course, certainly Dr. Mengele, the angel of death, Klaus Barbie. And, of course, so why was Heinrich Mueller allowed to come to America and die here? He's buried up in the Piedmont. And if that happened, how would they suppress that from the American people? How could you keep the American people from knowing that the OSS was working with the head of the Gestapo after the war? And, of course, we have a book called Gestapo Chief. We have another book based on the Mueller diaries, Heinrich Mueller's diaries. And Heinrich Mueller was certainly no enemy of the international Nazi movement that existed after the war. And under Operation Paperclip, we brought over 1,000 Nazi scientists to the United States to work on biological warfare and on psychological things and, of course, on the space industry. What nobody ever tells you is Wernher von Braun was a member of the OSS. The people who directed it here were generals in the Nazi movement. And, of course, our OSS helped. Many of these people escaped to South America, many of the Nazi war criminals. Any of you who would like to check this out, there's a book called Secret Agenda by Linda Hunt, who is a producer for CNN. Secret Agenda, an interesting study in thought control, is to try to find a copy of Secret Agenda today. One of our listeners up there in the Great Northwest put out $130 to buy this little book for me. It probably sold it new for no more than $10 or $15.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, Doctor.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go ahead, Dave.
Well, I just accidentally hit a button there. I was getting it ready for when the time came.
You go ahead.
Let's go with it. Let's actually go. That's an excellent, you know, that's really neat how a person would spend that kind of money, but sometimes it's where I spend many times on some of these clips. I spend $150, $200 just to have them in the archives just so I can get the truth out, because a lot of this stuff, showing those old books that laid this information out far before that ever happened is very important, I think. Otherwise, people really don't understand or don't believe what you're saying is true. And it's amazing to me how so much of this was laid out. In fact, the Peanut Report, as you so clearly covered on your newsletters, Project for a New American Century. You know, they talk about a group of men that got together and planned the wars in the Middle East back in 1997. This was on Nightline, and also there's, I guess you have the website that people could go to tonight if they wanted to.
That's newamericancentury.org, www.newamericancentury.org. What tells you about this small group of men, 25 of them, 11 of them from the CFR. They don't tell you that, but 11 of them were from the CFR, mm-hmm. 11 of the 25 people, and they planned the war with Iraq beginning back in 1997, writing letters to President Clinton in 1998, calling for a war with Iraq. Who were they? Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Jeb Bush, Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, and right down the line, so many of the people in the Bush administration today. Go ahead, David.
Absolutely. And then again, I'll have that clip up there at the Spokane, the airport, as well. It'll be on... I'm going to actually re-edit my Welcome to World War III/New World Order, and I'll put that. I'll include that clip at a certain point, because I had mentioned on that tape that I believed all these things were planned in advance. It was just choreographed and scripted. It didn't quite come out the way I thought. I thought there would be a war in Iraq. I thought it might trigger additional wars. It didn't happen that way. There was no war there, as you've so clearly again covered it. The fact that they didn't use their shoulder-held missiles, the Iraqis, they were told to lay down their arms and go home. They didn't bomb the airfields. They didn't use their helicopters. They didn't, you just go on and on.
They didn't use their airplanes. They got an Air Force, 100-some-odd fighter planes, and they must be saving them for the next war.
Yeah, it's the whole thing was obviously put together, and then they still haven't found a Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden. But let's listen to this clip here on World Trade Center. These are just a few. I've got numerous clips, and these are all tonight. We'll have to listen to audio, but I also have them on video. Let's listen to some of the people that are talking, some of the commentators and other people that are talking about what took place there the morning of 9/11, 2001. Here we go.
The North Tower of New York's World Trade Center, which we're looking at the moment, joining us now from New York is Steve Evans, who was, I believe, in the building at the time. Steve, what can you tell us about what happened this morning?
Well, running away very, very quickly, there are more explosions further down the building. Then there's a fire and an explosion about 20 stories further down. I was at the base of the building when it happened. There was one huge bang, and the building physically shook. Then two or three bangs, and the building again shook, and people came screaming past me.
It almost looks like one of those implosions of buildings that you see.
We understand now there has been a secondary explosion on Tower 2. With that, we will leave you and turn it over to Dan Rather.
In addition to the two World Trade Centers, each hit by an aircraft, and then there were subsequent explosions, hard to know whether these were explosions planted in the building. The fact that both of the World Trade Center buildings collapsed would indicate that there were perhaps pre-positioning of explosions.
I got, you know, numerous other people that talk about secondary explosions going off. Fire chief, for example, in New York, one of the fire inspectors said that he had got his men out because he believed there were bombs planted in the building. And so, again, this is all on the tapes and for people to review.
Well, I think we're going to have to sort of wrap this up and say goodnight to our listeners up in the great Northwest. And certainly we want to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you agree that there's a problem, we hope many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to see the David videos, and of course we have many of them available through Radio Liberty, and give us a call. We'll be glad to send you a catalog and a free newsletter, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Remember, David's going to be there on the 18th of July at 7 o'clock at the Ramada Inn at the airport. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you. Well, good evening again. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. You don't have to hold your calls. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. Right now, of course, we have with us Dave Wagner, and we're talking about the day that changed America forever. Now, that's the title of one of David's videos, and he's got, of course, Welcome to World War III / the New World Order. He has the day of the Great Deception. Well, he's got so many videos. The Shocker, the amazing clips. America Behind Bob Wire, Mason's Friend or Foe. You'll find all of these fascinating, and of course, excellent means of instructing others. In fact, there's one very inexpensive, a little 15-minute videotape, and it's a series of clips. It's called
Amazing Clip Sampler.
It's available. All of these are available from Radio Liberty. If you'd like, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, you can get information on these various items, these various videos that are available. And of course, I don't know whether we have any PD still listening up there in Spokane, but remember, Dave is going to be speaking there in Spokane at the Ramada Inn at the whole airport there in Spokane on the 18th of July. At 7 o'clock in the evening, get as many people out as you possibly can.
Dr. Stan, I also thank you. Last summer, you put my schedule. Actually, I went to 10 cities throughout the Midwest, and it was very effective. You put my schedule on your website, and I guess you've agreed to do that again to this trip to the Northwest, because I'll be on the 12th. I'll be up in the Santa Rosa area. The 15th, I'll be in Portland. The 17th, I'll be in Billingham, Washington, then I'll be in Spokane on the 18th, and then I'll be in Idaho. I don't know the exact city, right, but it'll be on your website.
Well, you're going to have to get that for me, and we'll be glad to post it there.
Because many people come to those presentations, they say, I saw your name on Dr. Stan's website, and I sure appreciate that you're willing to do that for me.
Well,
I don't have a website of my own. So.
Dave, we're in this battle together, and out there going across the country. I can't do that, but of course we're working for the same goal, try to save America, but even more than that, to help people come to and understand the nature of the spiritual battle we're involved in. And if they're not Christians, of course, to bring them to a personal relationship with our Lord. If they are Christians, of course, to bring them closer to the Lord. Because nothing will bring people to a realization there are more important things than the good life and materialism, than the realization we're about to lose it all.
Absolutely. In fact, that's during Jeremiah's time, when he was speaking to Jeremiah much in the book of Jeremiah, he talks about how the people had their trust in their money or in their government officials or in their religious leaders or going to church or whatever, and God said those are all lying vanities, and many people today have those same trust in that. We should have our trust in Jesus Christ. We should be stewards over the country. God's going to hold us accountable for our stewardship, and we've been given a nation where we have had freedoms and liberties. God have mercy on our young grandchildren and children unless this generation wakes up and gets involved, Dr. Stan, because all it takes for evil to triumph is good people to do nothing. And so that's why every time I get in your program, you've got the best. I was actually doing some organizing last night, and I've got many, many of your tapes, and I was putting them in these racks that I have, and so many subjects. Every subject you even imagine, I thought, man, if I just had a little bit of this knowledge of all these different speakers that you've had on there, and then all the books that you offer, all the tapes you offer, there's more than enough for the listeners to get something from your radio station and hand it out to to somebody that it might affect to open their eyes at this late hour. Because Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your head. He told us the signs of the times, is it's going to get worse and worse. And it's our responsibility to know what the times are. And I believe we're in those times. As deception is so great today, as there's so much evil, as we're seeing this world government rise up again, the world religion, the economy's coming together, the mark of the beast. In fact, I'd like to, let me just play that tape. We always play it late on the program, and let's play it right now. It's called the personal locator device. Most people that know the Bible understand there's a time when there's a man called, they call him all different names. He's a political leader, I believe. They call him the Antichrist and all kinds of names. But he's going to require that people take a mark that's implanted under their skin, in their right hand or in their forehead, with which they cannot buy or sell. And it was interesting to me that all the terrorists that are most the terrorists on 9/11, they said, yeah, they already had fraudulent IDs. They had fraudulent licenses. So they know they can reproduce these pictures and these holograms and all the rest of it, but they won't be able to reproduce a chip that goes under the skin that becomes part of your skin, a biochip. And I believe that chip's already in place. I believe this man speaking on this tape here, he's the president of Applied Digital Solutions. And on some of my tapes, I show Digital Angel, and then I show the Vera chip. But this one really got me because of the name again. The Digital Angel was interesting because it goes throughout the sky as an angel monitoring everybody. And then the Vera chip was the second generation. Well, the third generation is called Personal Locator Device, PLD. Listen to what he says about the PLD. This is really interesting. Here we go.
We are working on a product that we have called internally a PLD. PLD stands for Personal Locating Device, which is an implantable GPS for which our company owns a patent. The hybrid of the two of these products, being Digital Angel and Verichip, is what we call PLD. PLD should be in prototype form by the end of this year, by December of 2002, and we are already working with the Food and Drug Administration as well as legislative agencies with these products and ultimately with the PLD.
So again, Dr. Stan, they have the technology. They have a computer I show at this, at these presentations that has 13.2 trillion transactions or movements a second, every second. It's amazing.
You know, we've had on our program a woman named Catherine Albrecht. She's actually working on her doctorate degree back at Harvard. She's writing a treatise on surveillance. And she has pointed out that they have now available these little filaments. They're far smaller than a thread, and they can put them in every bit of underwear, every bit of cloth, every suit, every tube of toothpaste, everything you buy. And, of course, these can be read from 10 or 15 feet away. And, of course, then they will know exactly, for instance, you buy a product, you use a card, they'll know who you are, and they'll be able to associate that frequency, that thread with you. So wherever you go, of course, you walk down the street, there'll be a device there, and it'll pick you out because, of course, they can send a radio wave that will respond and send back and said, yes, Stan Monteith or Dave Wagner or Mike is wearing this piece. This is already available. Walmart, Kmart, many of the major companies are already going along with this. If you haven't heard my interviews with Catherine Albrecht, you really need to get them. Fascinating material. And of course, Catherine is a born again Christian. Of course, she doesn't bring that up when she's doing the discussion, but off the air, why we got a chance to chat with her. A brilliant, brilliant woman. And of course, she's doing some fundamental work right along the line of what you're saying, David. They're preparing to track every individual, but of course, always in the name of opposing the wicked Osama bin Laden, who just happened to work with the CIA all during the 1980s, whose family is very, very close to the George Herbert Walker Bush. In fact, they were invested in the Carlyle Corporation, which he has been involved in. And, of course, as far as the family breaking with Osama, we have articles out of La Figueroa in July of 2001 pointing out how Osama bin Laden was meeting with members of his family while he was being treated at the American Hospital in Dubai from July 4th to July 14th, 2001. So, you know, the idea, of course, that we've got to give up our freedom because of the wicked Osama bin Laden, you might just simply ask, who funds Osama bin Laden today? I mean, he can't have his money in the local Bank of America. Certainly not. I mean, and you have to have a nation, a country that is behind the terrorist movements as it exists today throughout the world, although it's pretty well in tatters, and we've pretty well destroyed most of the terrorist movement. We've killed off most of their leadership or captured all of it, but the one elusive figure of that, of course, symbol of Islamic terrorism, a man named Osama bin Laden, who used to work for the CIA.
Well, I think, Dr. Stan, they still have the right to go into any country because they said, yes, we've got most of the leaders, but the Al-Qaeda now are in every country in the world. So that gives them an open door to go wherever they want. They've vaguely defined what a terrorist is. It's so vague, it's unbelievable that eventually they can, you know, I actually have on a tape a person that protests abortion is worse than some of the Al-Qaeda members. This was on a national news broadcast.
Well, let's go to Jeannie, who's calling in right now. Hi, Jeannie. Have a question or comment?
Well, a comment and then a question for Dave. You were talking about the SS, the program before, 8-9.
Right.
And, you know, SS stands for the Schutzstaffel. And Schutz is protection, and Staffel is home defense squadron.
In other words, they sort of like the Office of Homeland Security.
Yeah,
something very comparable over there in Hitler's Germany.
Yeah, so it's the same program, just a little bit different players and actors.
Jeannie, I heard when you were on Dr. Stan's program, I listened to your tape a number of times. Have you got anything that I could, on a written matter, that I could document that?
I've got the German-English book right in front of me.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, I'll Xerox it for you.
If you would, then give it to Dr. Stan, or you can send it to my P.O. box here.
Okay.
Costa Mesa. It's P.O. Box 11960, Costa Mesa, California.
Okay.
92627 is the zip code, and then it's Hope for America Ministries.
Okay.
So, again, I listen to your tape. I listen to most all the tapes that I can of Dr. Stans and his guests, and he gets some excellent ones like yourself. And, boy, did my ears perk up when you said it meant Schutzstaffel. When I tell people that, not being that eloquent in the German language or anything else, it's, you know, they go, well, I don't believe that. And you go, well, it's true, but you need some kind of proof.
I'll give you the Xerox page.
Okay, I appreciate that.
I was going to ask you, do you have any sayings or videos of Mikhail Gorbachev or Putin?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I have Mikhail Gorbachev before the Council on Foreign Relations talking about the New World Order. I have, there was a movie called America with a K a number of years ago.
Yes, I have it.
And it's an excellent ABC series that was put out. We know we had Shelly Kashvili, used to be the head. He was a Russian that was the head of our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff for a period of time. He was a Russian. We had Mikhail Gorbachev at the Presidio sitting there and determining which military bases to close in America. So really, literally, they were allowed to take over our country without firing a bullet, just as Khrushchev said.
For our listeners out there, if you think that sounds incredible, that Gorbachev is involved in determining which bases will be closed in America, David's got the article. In fact, he's got that in, you have a little pamphlet. And, you know, when I first heard that, I said, that couldn't be true. And then, of course, David sent the article out of the San Jose Mercury, and it is true. And, of course, you have to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. You honestly think that the Russians were the enemy? Well, of course they were the enemy. Why do you think we spent all this money building up our massive defense force and our technology and the satellites in the sky? But they're not being used today to monitor the Russians. They're being used to watch Americans. And, of course, any place that they want to know what's going on, they can use those satellites. And all this extensive technology they developed to monitor the communists can be used to monitor the American people. And what people don't understand is that we have financed communism since its inception. If you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, if you have not read the material that Professor Sutton accumulated on the Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, or his trilogy, Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development, or the material that Larry McDonald put out before, of course, he took flight 007, and of course, one reason we never wanted to find out what happened to the survivors of Flight 007 was we never wanted, of course, Larry McDonald to come back and continue telling the American people that the American government and American corporations had financed communism for its inception, creating the best enemy money could buy.
Now, Dave, do you have that video? It's in a five-part series, 2 hours each. Do you happen to have that America with a K?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Because I just went on eBay, it was about 6 months ago, and they had a brand new one not taken out of the package. I think I paid $150 for it. But it's great because I can make copies from it. But that particular movie was made in trying to get the word out to the American people what's happening. It only showed once on television as a miniseries. But the psychology behind it, if you listen to the actors talking, the Russian actors, the American counterparts and so forth, it's just amazing because I remember one of the Russian colonel saying, how could we not lose? The Americans have lost their passion for freedom. And so one place in the movie on America, they talk about it's only psychopaths that are ruling the United States now. And so the psychology, if you go through it and listen to it, not just once, but many times, you'll understand exactly the psychology behind everything that's being done in the United States now. So it's an amazing movie.
Sure is. In fact, one time I thought about just that, dissecting that and putting the modern-day articles, how that is fitting every part of America today. I have so many other projects I want to do, so I never got around to it.
Jeannie, why don't you go ahead and summarize that whole thing? We'll do a 1 or 2 hour program on it.
I also, that sounds good, Dr. Stan, but I also have a kind of like 6 pages regarding a couple in Russia. He defected from the KGB high up in the directorate, and he explains exactly the idea behind communism, and his wife is saying, well, how can that be? And he explains it precisely. And I thought, this would be a great show where we had a man talking as the Russian KGB defector and a woman, and it tells exactly the psychology also behind what's happening today. And that is a fascinating, I forget the name, I think it was the Tower of Secrets. But it's an amazing true story.
Well, of course, you get that, and we'll do one of those too, Jeannie, okay?
That sounds great.
God bless.
Thanks for being on, Dave.
Well, thank you, Jeannie. And why don't you call me sometime? Call the 800 number, and I'll get back to you.
Okay.
My 800 number is 1-800-959-1991, and leave your number, and I'll get back to you, and I'd like to talk to you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, Dave, go ahead.
We were talking about deception, and Jeannie brought up some more good points about just what is happening, Schutzstaffel, and, those that fail to learn from history, I believe Santana said this, are destined to repeat it again. And that's exactly what's happening. They're repeating everything in history. This time, they'll have the technology that they'll be able to enslave anybody they want. This time, there will be no allies. This time, it's the whole world coming together, all the world leaders coming together, bringing about a global community where there will be one leader. And like I mentioned, he's going to cause people, both small and great, rich and poor, to take a mark. I would recommend you not take that mark, because the people that do take the mark will be sent separated from God for eternity. The word's called hell is in the Bible, eternal fire. And I wouldn't recommend anybody take that. Now, many people say, well, you have to worship him too. Well, by taking the mark, by disobeying God's word and obeying this individual, because you're afraid how you're going to get your next dollar because you can't trust God. And that's too bad, because we pray every day. Many people pray every day, give us this day our daily bread. But we're actually to trust him. Even as a little child trusts his parents. Jesus said, except you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And when you take a little child and you look at how they trust their mom and dad, they don't worry about what they eat, what they drink, what they wear. They know mom and dad are going to take care of them. That's the kind of faith we must have in our Heavenly Father. He's going to take care of us if we have our trust and our dependence upon him during that time when we cannot buy or sell. But there is a time coming. This world leader has everything in place almost. I believe the Middle East war, the Third World War, is setting the stage. I think we're going to get so sick and tired of war and rumors of wars and the things that are happening that we're going to eventually call for peace and security. He's going to say, hey, let's put an end to this, and everybody's going to lay down their arms. And Jesus said, when they say peace and security, watch out, then comes sudden destruction. And I believe that's just around the corner. Again, I don't know the day or hour. I don't know, in fact, what year, because God is definitely a long-suffering and patient God. There were books written, for example, on the economy, Dr. Stan, by Harry Figge. Harry Figge was a man that was on the Grace Commission. He knew a lot about the economy, and he wrote a book called The Crash of 1995. So obviously, the fundamentals of the economy were ready to crash in 1995, but they've been able to keep it afloat so far. They've been able to invest in the stock market. They, meaning the federal government, has. I'm sure they're investing. It's sort of interesting to me that bonds are rising at a time when the dollar's dropping. Government securities are going up, and at the same time the dollar's dropping. Something's funny about that.
Well, I think it's all manipulated, but
yeah,
I think that we're going to see, and I've had this from very, very good inside sources, we're going to see the market going up for a time. Now, I'm not saying it's going to stay up, but I think it's going to go up for a time, because they want things to be good for the elections in 2004. And so they're going to do everything they can to keep the market up, to keep this whole thing from collapsing. They can't keep it from collapsing forever, but at least temporarily, things won't be quite as bad. We'll continue losing jobs, but they'll continue pouring out the money. The plunge team will continue bolstering the market. They'll continue dropping the interest rates and continue dropping the dollar, so our dollar will be more competitive. Every time they do that, we're stealing the wealth not only of the people but of future generations. But at least for the time being, I think that they're going to try to do everything they can to stabilize things in preparation for the re-election of our president.
I think that's a pretty short time being, though. I think it will be after that election. We could probably see a lot of things happening that are very unpleasant for the Americans.
No question.
Again, if you're a holder of American U.S. securities and you hold billions and billions of dollars, over the last 4 or 5 months, you've lost 30% of your value. And so they have to figure out a way to get out of U.S. securities and into euros or into gold or something else, and they want the gold prices to be low, so they don't want to drive them up, or else they can't buy gold. So they're sort of a rock and a hard place. There will be a time we can't even hang on to our money. We should never have our trust in our money. Our trust should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He says, my children, don't beg bread. He says, cast all your cares upon me. Over and over and over, he's always protected his people that have put their trust and dependence upon him. So I believe that's going to happen in the future, in the days and years ahead. As we continue on this time of Noah and the time of Lot, I think the biggest thing that concerns me, Dr. Stan, is Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow is the path, and few enter. And that doesn't mean a whole lot are going to enter. It says few are going to enter. In times of Noah, there were 8 people that got on that ark. Now, people say, oh, that's way too straight and way too narrow. Well, Jesus said, when I come back, am I even going to find faith on the face of the earth? That's why I'm putting together a presentation that I know it won't be very popular around this country, but it's called False Teachers, Unsound Doctrines, and Doctrines of Demons. I probably will have it out I hope to have it this summer, but it'll probably be this fall because I have to make some trips to get support. But anyway, there's much, much deception going on. I know there's one that gives us discernment. It's called the Holy Spirit. I know that we're all going to be held accountable for the research. We can use the Word of God as a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, and it pretty much tells us what's happening. It tells us there's going to be a time where we can't buy or sell. It tells us a time of great deception. It tells us there's a time of a world leader it tells us of a time where there's wars and rumors of wars, and just pretty much the signs of the times we're in right now. And it's in one hand, I guess you might say it's sort of exciting. It's sort of sad for me. I have, if you've seen some of my videos, I used to weep. I haven't wept recently, Dr. Stan. I hope it's because I haven't become hard-hearted. I just think that after you see this stuff for a period of time, and I think that God told Jeremiah, he says, don't cry for this people anymore. Don't weep for this people anymore. They've kicked me out of their country. They're serving other gods. They don't want me in their education system. They don't want me in their they don't want my Ten Commandments in there anymore. And that's exactly what we've done in the 60s and 70s and 80s in this country. We've told God to leave our country. And like you started out the program, and then we ask him to bless us as we kill our unborn. That can't work. They don't work together. God said, I hate the killing of the unborn, and yet we continue on with the slaughter of our unborn in this country as well as throughout the world. Like you mentioned, we gave $15 billion to Africa not long ago, and most of that's going to go for Planned Parenthood and the killing of the unwanted children. And that's usually American dollars. In fact, UN's own figures, we killed over the last few years, every year, 50 million babies every year. 50 million babies are slaughtered in their mother's womb, Dr. Stan, and that should be the safest place in the world for a baby to be is in his mother's womb, and yet it's the most dangerous place on this planet Earth to be today. You never know who's going to get to some of these mothers and deceive them and lie to them and tell them that they just have a fetus in there and it's all right. God have mercy on us, Dr. Stan, is all I can say. I pray for his mercy. I pray for that he may wake this country up, may use me, may use you, may use others like Jeannie and others that are out there sharing truth, because the truth is the only thing that's going to set people free. And again, a lot of people say, well, that's just Jesus. It is. Jesus is everything. He's all-encompassing. And yet Jeremiah was told to tell the people that the Babylonians were coming. This is the word of God I'm telling people right now. He was told the Babylonians are coming. They're going to take your children away from you. They're going to separate you from your loved ones because you're serving other gods. That's true today, Dr. Stan. Same thing. He was told in the Old Testament is happening today because unless we turn back, I have that scripture on the bottom of my card, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, now a lot of people say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus. If those people are called by his name will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and then turn from their wicked ways. I can't turn from anybody else's wicked ways except my own. I can only examine myself, use the word of God as a two-edged sword to divide my soul from my spirit. And as I examine myself, Dr. Stan, then I can see whether I'm on that straight and narrow path. And John says, I write these things you may know. If you're doing the will of God, if you're obeying what the Word of God says, not wrestling the Scripture to your own destruction, which a lot of people will do in these end times, they'll take the Scripture and they'll make it say what they want it to say. But you let the Holy Spirit teach you, and He'll teach you and guide you in all truth. If you ask for a stone, He isn't going to give you, or if you ask for a piece of bread, He isn't going to give you a stone. If you ask for truth, and if you ask for what you should do in this late hour, I guarantee you God will show you what you should do. He will open doors that you can't even imagine. But we've got to be willing participants. We've got to be the one that says, God, send me. I'm willing. I'm not my will any longer, but thy will be done. And that's what Jeremiah was looking for. God says, go throughout Jerusalem and find one man that's willing to stand in the gap and fill in the hedge. One man that's willing to stand up for righteousness and truth. And again, that's what I'm calling for tonight. Every time I get on the radio and every presentation, I just ask people to follow Jesus. Not me, not any program, not any ministry. Follow Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Well, Dave, we're going to take a quick break here as we go to the half hour. And when we get back, we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, and that's Dave Wagner of Hope for America Ministries. And as soon as I get back, I'm going to hopefully remember to get Dave's telephone number out so that you'll know how to reach him and get his material. Mm-hmm. Well, this is RJ Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is David Wagner. David, let's get your telephone number out. How can people reach you and Hope for America Ministry?
Okay, I have an answering machine that I pick up the messages of the people must leave their name clear and slow and their address and city, state, and zip or phone number, and I try to get back to them, even though I think the answer machine says I don't take calls. I try to get back to everybody. There isn't that much time to get back to everybody, but I'll do as many as I can. But the number is 1-800-959-1991. That's 1-800-959-1991. Again, I just thank you for letting me be on these programs, for a program like yours that I could go out throughout the country, Dr. Stan, and put get the message out that God's put on my heart. And these surely are, to me, they're days that are so interesting. They're clearly written in the Bible, and it's just in one hand, I know where I'm going. I'm not afraid of anything that may be coming down because God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. But I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. As any of the listeners that have committed their life to Jesus Christ and died to themselves and walk in the Spirit are, but they must decide to do it His way before the Holy Spirit will come in and enter and fill them up. They must decide to let Him be the Lord of their life and not just a person that lived 2,000 years ago. They must obey. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." And again, as you can tell, I love to preach, Dr. Stan. I get on the soapbox. In fact, I'm going to do a presentation, Dr. Stan, after I do False Teachers. I promise it's only going to be 1 hour, but it's going to be the basics of the gospel according to the Bible. I think there's so many gospels out there right now. There's so much false teaching. There's so many doctrines that have come in over the last 100 years that have, just like in the political agenda, Satan has been at work there, just confusing everybody, and really our focus should have been and should always be on Jesus Christ. He is everything. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's our salvation. He's our provider. He's our protector, our healer, our everything. And yet so many people get caught up in all these other agendas. They get into knowledge, and the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And I'm not a scholar. I'm just an individual that God has called, and I believe that the Holy Spirit teaches me and guides me in all truth, and I base everything I say on the written Word of God. And I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful that the people gave their lives, that I can now have a Bible in my house, and I can go to it and search the Scriptures and see if whatever a person said is true. And I'd ask that of anybody. We should always search what's being said, even if it's in the political realm. Go do the research and go to the executive order pages of the White House or the government, or check these things out. Don't just take everything you hear for granted. And I think we should all do that in all areas of our life, because there is, like I say, there is so much deception going on today. And we've talked about some of the deception that has taken place. The clip I played before one of the breaks was many people talking about a bomb going off, secondary devices going off at the World Trade Center. Well, let me play a couple clips. Why that took place? Why the event of the World Trade Center per Gary Hart, for example? This is on September 14th, I believe it is, before the Council on Foreign Relations. Ex-Senator Gary Hart pretty much explains why the event, or how they're going to use the event at the World Trade Center that took place. So, and they use every incident that comes along. But let's listen to ex-Senator Gary Hart, and then I want to play another. Was sort of a shocking clip to me was George Bush Sr. He talks about. Well, let's play this clip first.
There is a chance the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used I think only once and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
Okay, it isn't any clearer than that, Dr. Stan.
Yeah, and I think people have to understand that Gary Hart was the co-chairman of an organization known as the National Commission for Security in the 21st Century, commissioned in 1997, began holding meetings in 1998. In 1999, they put out their Phase 1 report. Now, this is fully 2 years before the September 11th attack. What are they saying? there's going to be terrorism in America. Americans are going to die on American soil. There's going to be a disruption of our society. There's going to be attacks on the homeland of America. Now, that was in 1999. In the year 2001, of course, after the attack, why, of course, George Tenet of the CIA and the head of the FBI said, why, you know, who would have ever thought the attack would be here in America? Why, we knew an attack was coming, but we thought it was going to be overseas. That's why we didn't do anything at all to stop it. That's, of course, why the airlines weren't on the alert, why nine of the hijackers were stopped at the airports that morning and not allowed to get on the plane. That's why nobody was concerned when, of course, a few days before the attack, why somebody was shorting the stock in American Airlines and United Airlines and J.P. Morgan and certain of the other companies that had their headquarters in the World Trade Center. That's why the FBI, of course, somehow or other let the information out, because we know Willie Brown was warned ahead of time. We know members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff were warned ahead of time. We know, of course, that my friend Garth Nicholson was told about the coming attack on the Pentagon, and of course he did reach people in government about that, knowing even the day that it was going to occur. And then, of course, the Vice President Cheney, part of this PNAC group, would say, why, we never thought that they'd hijack our planes and crash them into the World Trade Center or use them to attack buildings. And yet, of course, there'd been all sorts of government reports about that. And you'll find that in Eleanor Hill's testimony. You'll find that in Kristen Breitweiser's testimony. That there was many, many instances where government knew exactly what was going to happen and did nothing at all about it. And
Actually, there was one guy that didn't know about it. I think his name was John O'Brien. I might be wrong with the name, but he was a secretary.
His name was John O'Neill.
John O'Neill. He was the undersecretary of the FBI.
Right.
And he just happened to be security at the World Trade Center, I believe.
Well, you know, very interesting what happened to O'Neill. I always thought he was on one of the upper floors, but apparently he was walking. He got out of one of the buildings, was walking over to the other building, and was never seen again. Of course, he knew a great deal of information, and of course would be very dangerous if he ever brought that information out after the Trade Center bombing. So he sort of disappeared while walking between the two buildings. Isn't that strange?
Sure is. I mean, I believe he was the one that was involved with the coal. Our ambassador there, he got involved with O'Brien and that group, and he also was against, he wanted to do a thorough investigation of the Taliban, but that's not it. It might have been the Taliban, I believe. He wanted
Al-Qaeda wanted to investigate the bombing of the coal, and he wasn't allowed to investigate the bombing of the coal. And he wasn't even allowed to investigate why the coal was put into port at Yemen when they had advanced knowledge there was got to be an attack on an American ship. And it was recommended that, you know, you don't send your ships into port to be refueled. You have them refueled out in the Gulf there where they'd be safe. And then, of course, that morning when the coal was in, why, they wouldn't give the people who were manning the machine guns any ammunition. And they were specifically told not to fire if somebody approached the ship. Well, my son was on a naval ship, and he told me that, you know, they had big flyers on the aircraft carrier was on saying, don't approach this ship. There were, of course, people with live ammunition, 50-caliber machine guns, and if a ship approached, a small boat approached their ship, they'd blow it out of the water. But instructions were given to the people on the coal not to fire that morning. You have to ask yourself why, when they knew that there was going to be an attack on one of our ships in the harbor in Yemen. And then, of course, when John O'Neill tried to investigate that, he was blocked by the American ambassador, a woman. And is it just coincidence that George Walker Bush, President Bush, appointed that same woman to go over and be an administrator in Iraq? She didn't last very long, fortunately. But, of course, she is a favorite, obviously, of the current administration.
Well, yeah, again, I just wanted to bring out the point that he was one that didn't seem to understand what was going to happen that morning, but there sure appears that there were many other people. like you said, Gary Hart, he was with Senator Redmond, I believe, the two of them helped put together Shoot Stuff, well, pretty much for America here.
That was phase three of that National Commission on Security in the 21st Century. Incidentally, both of those reports are available from Radio Liberty. We have them nicely bound. If you don't have access to them on the web or would rather get them all prepared for you, you need to read this material. Everything that happened after where it was planned ahead of time. They knew there was going to be a terrorist attack. The whole program for the Office of Homeland Security was laid out a year beforehand in the year 2000. And, of course, all you need to read it, in fact, they even called it, in essence, not quite the Office of Homeland Security, but something very, very similar to that. And everything that has happened since 9/11 was planned ahead of time, including the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, the USA Patriot Act, and, of course, all of this is aimed at restricting the freedom of those terrible people, the citizens of the United States.
Dr. Stan, I got a clip I just got to play. To me, it was really shocking, I guess you can say that, because nothing's usually that shocking, but I heard George Bush back in the 90s say over on 200 occasions he talked about the fact that there was coming a new world order. I didn't know exactly what day the first time he announced that, but I do remember, and I do have the clip I want to play. Let me play the clip, and then I'll tell you exactly what day he announced this before Congress. And how I found this out is I was going through some of my old articles, and I have boxes of articles, and I just happened to pull this one article out. And usually, if the article isn't rectangular or square, I cut off the date, and I'll write it on with a pen. Well, this, for some reason, I left the date up in the upper right-hand corner, sort of like a panhandle, and the date's included on that. And I'll tell you what date it was right after we play this this clip from George W. Bush when he announced this before Congress.
What is at stake for war in one small country? It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law.
Now, Dr. Stan, again, it was just unusual that I found the date. I'd heard the date before, but I didn't have any proof of it. But again, when I looked at that article, and it says in the article, it says, tonight George Bush Sr. will announce to Congress about the New World Order. And that was the announcement on the audio format. But the date of that article was September 11th, 1990, exactly 11 years to the day of that incident there at the World Trade Center. Now, that could be coincidence to a lot of people. I'm not so sure it is. I believe this whole thing is being orchestrated. I believe the whole move towards the New World Order is put in place a long time ago. And obviously they've run into some obstacles from time to time. They probably have had to delay their timing schedules, but overall they're moving forward even as the Americans sleep on, even as Americans continue to really, most of them do nothing about, they don't even support programs like yours or tell their friends. A lot of them are caught up in some of these false teachings. They're told they're going to get out of here before anything ever bad happens, and so they're all excited about that, and they're writing their friends telling them when I'm out of here, then you need to be concerned. Well, today is the day of really our salvation. Today is the day we should be concerned, because when you can have a president announce the New World Order in exactly 11 years to the day, we have that horrible incident at the World Trade Center. There's something funny about that, Dr. Stan.
Well, I agree with you totally, and I think that we have to question the dates. Everything seems to be dates. Of course, bring in the Harry Potter books at midnight before the summer solstice. We celebrate Lenin's birthday, what we call it Earth Day. And in fact, the number 11, September 11th, the date 11 is certainly very, very frequently used by the occult. And our friend David Bay has a number of treatises on this. So, maybe coincidence. Well, there's just so many coincidences after a while of why you begin to think maybe there is a plan. And behind that plan are certainly spiritual forces. I believe they're demonic forces moving us towards the New World Order and the New World Religion.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, the date, there's a thing called numerology that the occultists and those that are in witchcraft and New Age, they all understand it a lot better than the Christians do. And like you say, 11 is one of their important dates. April 19th, obviously, is another one. That's when we had Waco. And then exactly a year later, on April 19th, is when we had the Oklahoma bombing. That's the night when they went bloody and bloody and fire sacrifices in the occult. So again, all the dates mean something. Again, that's not what we need to focus on, though. We need to understand there is a problem ahead, and we need to get our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. We need to warn those that are around us, because God said in Ezekiel on two different occasions, he says, when you fail to tell your friends that there's a storm coming or there's a problem coming, and you know this truth, and you fail to tell them, the blood's going to be upon you, their blood's going to be upon your hands. But if you tell them and they do nothing about it, then you're released of that put upon you. And so our responsibility is just to tell our friends, our loved ones, about these things. Again, just to tell them usually doesn't work. You need some of these videos, you need some of the books, you need some of the documentation, because they aren't going to believe it. Even when some of them see this stuff, they don't believe it. But they have to go into total denial once you've seen many of these things. And how they all add up, how it really shows that there's some kind of, you know, they don't even like that word, but conspiracy. And again, some of my videos, Dr. Stan, I think the biggest deception, or one of the biggest deceptions happening today, and I'm going to show this on this next tour, is the republic versus democracy. Because all we're talking about today is this democracy over in Iraq, and the democracy in Russia, and democracy in China, and democracy in Canada, and the all throughout the world. All our leaders, whether they be Republicans or Democrats. And you know as well as anybody that has studied American history that we're not about a democracy. We're about a constitutional republic. In fact, our forefathers were against a democracy. I think it was Benjamin Franklin that some lady asked him on the steps there at Constitutional Hall or whatever. She said, what kind of government have you given us? Mr. Franklin, he said, a constitutional republic, you can keep it.
Well, let's talk to Ari before we get into that. Ari's calling from Redwood City. He's one of our supporters. Hi, Ari. How are you doing?
Just fine, thanks.
Hi, Ari.
I had a question. Do you believe that the pre-tribulation rapture is the heresy?
All right, that's a very, very good question. Dave, what do you think about the pre-tribulation rapture?
Well, I'm concerned about it because there are people that teach the pre-tribulation rapture that say that it's brought a lethargy upon the people. They call it a rapturitis or a disease. And I believe that is an escape out of here. And I tell people their faith should never be in an event. Our faith should be in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We shouldn't be divided over these issues, but we should focus on Him. And He knows His grace is going to be sufficient no matter what lies ahead. So again, our focus has got to be on Jesus, not on some doctrine, because I know a lot of people are trusting in that doctrine to happen. They believe that they are going to be out here. They're not going to go through any persecution. Yet the Bible says very clearly, those that live godly are going to suffer persecution. Jesus said, the world hated me, it's going to hate you too.
Well, I think, Ari, the thing that, where in the Bible does it say that Americans are going to be raptured out before anything bad happens to America? Now, this, of course, is the belief of the Christians here, but I always like to take the approach, well, what happens if the rapture comes 20 years after America has fallen? Because you have to go back to what happened in Hitler's Germany. The people, the Christians there, were expecting the rapture to occur too, and that's why many of them didn't do anything. And I always remember the words of Walter Martin, who was the Bible answer man many years ago, an extremely articulate spokesman for the Lord. He used to have a radio program. That was it, the Bible answer man. And what he said was, you know, I've studied the scriptures all of my life, and I see nothing there that absolutely convinces me that there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, but I pray I'm wrong. And I think that's it. I mean, there's a lot in the scriptures that suggests a pre-tribulation rapture, but it's not a canon of faith at all. And of course, some people are pre-trib rapture, some people are mid-trib rapture, some are post-trib rapture. All we know is, of course, we're promised that the Lord will come again for his saints. So, you know, I quite frankly don't know. And I hope and pray that there is a pre-trib rapture. Oh, does that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah, I get it. It's not one of the essentials. It's rather a non-essential. And either way, there's certainly enough motivation to get involved in this battle because, you know, it affects our own lives. I mean, they want population control. They want to wipe out huge numbers of people. And, you know, what kind of world are we going to leave to our descendants?
You're absolutely right.
I tell people, Dr. Stan mentioned Walter Martin, and he was a post-trib rapture teacher, yet he became a pre-trib individual. He went up before the tribulation came, in other words. I tell people today is the day of our salvation. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We want to be focused on Jesus Christ this very night, doing his will, because we might be called up before he's thrown at any time. And so don't focus on the events that may take place. Focus on Jesus Christ. He's the mark of the prize of the high calling that Paul said he was running towards, that he may obtain that prize. And his name's Yeshua or Jesus or King Jesus or whatever you want to, you know, he was God in the flesh.
And so basically I think that what's happened is that you almost have a cult-like mentality. If you don't believe in pre-tribulation rapture, you're not a good Christian. Well, the pre-trib position may be absolutely correct, but I don't believe that has anything to do with your salvation. And we're not going to know until it occurs exactly what the plan is.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very
much. Thank you so much. Good. Let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, how are you doing?
Hi, Stan. Well, I follow the post-trib view, and I believe there's solid scriptural evidence for that. But that's not what I called about.
I will tell you, my friend and I consider Tim LaHaye a friend, and he will make just as good a point for a pre-trib.
No, he doesn't make a good
point. You and I would disagree on that. Now, I may not necessarily accept that position, but he has an awful lot of good arguments for it. The trouble is, we seem to be following what men say rather than the Bible says. And
that's
there's
exactly
a lot of things there that are mysteries. We'll never know. I hope he's right, but I'm not going to stake my faith on it.
No, you hit the nail on the head, following what men say rather than Scripture. That's what Tim LaHaye said. It's not what Scripture says. But a few minutes ago, you all were talking about the number 11, or, you know, that came up with some of these dates. I'd like to give an explanation for the number of 11.
Go ahead.
Number 11. Within the Illuminati and Freemasonry, 11 is the number of destruction. Where they draw that from is the 10 horns or the 10 kings in Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation 17. The parallel passages where you have 10 plus 1, which makes 11. You start out with the 10 kings and then arising, to make a long story short, arising from those 10, there's another one, which is the 11th, which is the Antichrist, who is the destroyer. That's what's going on with 11. Not only do we have a single numeral, a number 11, but we have cropping up in different places a double 11. I've got a whole lot more than this that I could tell about these things, but there's no time for that.
Yeah, Mike, I've heard that explanation. I've heard also it's the 11th sign of the heavens, the age of Aquarius. That the 11th is, you know, when we came to the age of Aquarius. So, again, this is an issue that, again, we shouldn't be divided on. They're all interesting, and we'll know when we get to heaven exactly what that 11 means.
I also go with the ideas that the Twin Towers were a number 11. I didn't believe that at first, but
they were.
And so what they've done is destroyed their own thing, the same as Hitler destroyed the Reichstag, Nero burnt Rome, etc. And you know what? Maybe you've heard the stories. What they're putting up in its place now? You know, they went into debate for so long about what to do with that property there, where the towers were. They're putting up two more towers, another number 11. This time, one tower is a little taller than the other, and the tallest is 1,776 feet tall, in commemoration of the year 1776. Which most people will, you know, take to have, you know, this big date in our American history. But it so happens that's also the founding year of the Illuminati in May 1st, 1776.
That's when Adam Weishaupt went to Ingolstadt University.
Right.
And of course, what happens is they always have a double meaning. So they can always point to the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. But, of course, they chuckle to themselves because the important date was May 1st, 1776. Okay, anything else?
That's it, thanks.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Oh, can I, one more thing?
Sure.
I'd like to address a certain portion of the audience. if I may. The fellows in Langley, Virginia, and Mount Weather, and Washington, D.C., and anybody associated with Homeland Security and all, we hope you're enjoying the program tonight. This is an exceptional program, and we realize that you guys are in a you know, sort of a tough spot. Maybe some of you are caught between a rock and a hard place. We are praying for you. We hope that you'll get the videos and tapes and books and enjoy them and pass them on to your superiors.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mike.
Right.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, of course, I would second Mike has said. If any if you are listening out there, you'd like a special discount, just get in touch with us. Go ahead, David.
Well, I agree with many of the points Mike made there, and I agree with him as far as the people that are, many people are deceived. Many people are brought into this whole global community under the, because they always have a good reason for everything, whether it's depopulation or whether it's abortion or whether whatever it may be, they always come up with some reason that sounds good and demand that, but the end thereof is death. Because God's ways are not our ways; they're beyond our finding out. And that's why it's so important that we don't reason things out. We ask God for discernment. We ask God for truth. We ask God for direction, wisdom in the days in which we live. And He will direct our path if we delight ourselves in Him. And it's so important today that we're filled with the Spirit, because the days are going to become more and more evil as the time goes on. But it's our responsibility as stewards over what's given us to continue to be those watchmen that fill in the hedge and fill in the gap and stand up for truth no matter what the cost may be. Daniel, for example, he was an excellent example of a man that lived in Babylon. I think we're sort of living in that same kind of environment today. And yet the edict, he knew the edict was given. If you pray to your God, that you'll be put in the lion's den. What did he do? He went home, he opened the windows to his room, and he prayed towards Jerusalem, his God. Prayer was more important to him than his personal life. His relationship with God was more important to him than his earthly life, and that's the way ours should be, because if a man tries to save his life in this world, he's going to lose it. But if a man will lose his life for Christ's sake, he's going to save it. And those are his words. Those aren't mine. But again, Dr. Stan, I really enjoy your prayer. We sure jump all over the everything, and I'm looking forward to that July 4th, because I'm going to put together some clips, and then I'm going to let you, after I play them, introduce where they came from and what they were involved with, and then we'll go to the next clip and the next clip and the next clip. But there's some pretty good clips coming that are pretty shocking. I usually don't put the clips on the presentations unless they're called wake up calls. I call it shocking or wake up or the alarm or whatever you want to call it, and that's what they're all about.
Well, let me just tell our listeners that David has put together some wonderful, wonderful videos. Certainly, the Day of Deception. That's the day. The Great Deception. The day that changed America forever. Welcome to World War III-slash the New World Order. The shocker. The amazing clips. There are really so many tape sets of David's that we do carry, because we think they're all worthwhile. They're very important. Certainly, an amazing clip is one of my favorites. The sampler is very inexpensive. But if you'd like to get a list of them all, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com, or you can certainly give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Or ask for a free copy of our newsletter. Ask for certainly one of our catalogs. We'll be glad to send that off to you. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us, Dave. It's always a pleasure, and the time does go by awfully quickly, doesn't it? Thanks for coming by, coming on board so late, agreeing to come with us today.
It's always a blessing, and thank you, and may God bless you and all your listeners.
You too. Bye-bye, and
thank
good
you.
Night. May the Lord be with you. And this is Dr. Stan saying, pray for America, and pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and our protection.